My role today is to walk you through the very rich program of the day. The agenda provides for the presentation, obviously, of the new business plan by Mr. Alessandro Vandelli, CEO of BPER, followed by the Q&A sessions. For a better organization, I am anticipating that this will be divided into two different sessions, the first dedicated to those present here in Milan, and the second for those who participate via conference call. A coffee break will take place after the Q&A sessions. Following this, there will be the session dedicated to the press and media. I would like now to give the word to Mr. Alessandro Vandelli, CEO of BPER. Please, Mr. Vandelli, give the podium to you.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Good morning to all of you here in Milan, but also to all those participating via conference call. I would like also to greet with great affection all people of BPER Group and thank you all for your great and incredible support and commitment in these years. Yesterday, we approved the new business plan 2019-2021. This moment comes at the end of the extraordinary month of February, during which we have had numerous and positive developments. These represent an excellent starting point for facing the next 3 years. I'm referring, first of all, to 2018 results, which recording important progress in all areas of activities with a net profit of 402 million euro, the highest of our history. Following this, the agreement for the acquisition of Unipol Banca and minority stakes of Banco di Sardegna, along with the disposal of around 1 billion euro of bad loans. And finally, the agreement for the acquisition of the control of Arca Holding. The plans come, therefore, in the best moment to add value to what has taken place during this period and to build a solid perspective for growth and profitability, sustained by further progress in capital solidity and de-risking. However, satisfaction for the achievements until today do not prevent us from being aware that the presentation of this strategic plan coincides with a complex economic and regulatory environment, which is particularly challenging. Realistically, we must take this into consideration. And it is for this reason that I have asked Professor Giuseppe Lusignani, Vice Chairman of Prometeia, well known as one of the maximum experts of economics and banking, to be present here today to help us to understand and to have a clear picture of the dynamics of the current moment and its prospects, both referring to the economic condition of our country and to the situation of the banking system. I would like now to give the podium to Professor Lusignani for his presentation. Welcome, Giuseppe, and thank you for accepting my invitation. Please, Giuseppe, come on the stage. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Alessandro, and thank you, BPER, for inviting me to share with you some thoughts. You know, of course, in a very short time, you know, today you're here to discuss, to see and discuss the business strategic business plan of BPER. So I'm just taking, you know, a few moments to share and highlight with you some of the main topics that, you know, we have to consider when we discuss and when we try to understand what would be the future of the banking sector in Italy, not only in Italy. So I just, you know, tried and I put in couple of some more than a couple of slides, but not a lot, in order to drive your attention to what I think are the main important things to consider. First, so I'm going to go through to some, let's say, economic issues, and most of the European and Italian banking sector perspectives. Let me see if it works. Can someone is helping me here? I can do this if you want. Okay. Let's start with the capital position of the banks. You know, just to compare the Italian banking level of capital with respect to the European one. And we see that from the crisis, the 2008 to 2018, so in 10 years, you know, the capital position of the Italian banking sector and also the European banking sector has more than doubled in some way, sure for the Italian one. So, you know, today we have an Italian banking sector that is much more capitalized, but not only by new capital issues and, let's say, retention of profits, but also for reducing an important amount of risk. If you see the risk RWA reduction in the Italian banking sector has been almost 30%, 28%, much more than the European one. So de-risking and increasing capital has been a trend in the last 10 years and is continuing. The need of capital is not stopping, and it will be continuing in the future. So this is one of the main issues that we have to consider. Second one, we had a problem, and we still have a problem of, let's say, in European sector of asset quality, mainly in the Italian banking sector for the NPE problem. But also we have to consider that European banks have an higher problem, or let's say a more important problem of illiquid asset, so level 2, level 3 asset. The improvement in asset quality for Italian banking sector has been quite important from 2015 up to date. There has been a sharp reduction in the NPA ratio, but we're still well above the average of European level. So this trend is going to continue, and the improving of asset quality and the asset NPL disposal will be one of the main key issues for the banks also in the next 3-4 years. Looking at another key indicator, the cost income, if we look at the cost income, so efficiency of the process of the Italian banking sector, we don't see very important differences among, let's say, the Italian banking sector and the European one, but this is the old traditional commercial banking activity, also in Europe and in Italy. This level is quite high. If I don't have here the comparison with the U.S. and with some more specialized banking sector, but this is something that has to reduce in a very important way. And also diversification of revenues. Here, there has been some, increase in diversification among, starting from 2008 to 2018, you see that here in the Italian banking sector, we have almost 50% of the revenues split, let's say, not 55% among, interest and commission, interest and fees, so 55-45. a higher level of diversification with respect to the European one. But the main problem of the Italian banking sector, of course, but the European banking sector, is that there's this gap, a gap between cost of capital and return on equity. This is a gap that is quite wide. In Europe, in the euro area, this gap is reducing, but you see the reduction in cost of capital, the blue line, and the increasing in return on equity, the red one. But when you compare the European, the euro area, a banking sector with the Italian one, you see that the gap is quite high. And you see two things. One is the cost of capital is still very high and is not declining like in European, in the euro area. And, of course, we have a gap in return on equity. So all the banking sector has to improve its profitability. This gap it's the real issue of the, of course, and the real challenge for the next future, and is the market, the investors are already embedded this evaluation. You know, the price to book value of the Italian banking sector, you know, is around 50.5, and 0.6 is the European one. So it's not, it's still, you know, there's a difference, but it's still a problem. Not, you know, not only for the Italian banking sector, but for the whole European sector. So having, you know, and try to improve market evaluation that goes through the improving on return on equity of the banking sector and reducing the cost of capital. Reducing cost of capital means reducing risk. Risk that is in the banking sector, but also in the economy. And of course, the economic environment where now, you know, this plan, this strategic plan of BPER is going to, let's say, the next 3 years of this strategic plan, you know, has to face some of the main challenges in terms of macroeconomic context and financial market developments. There are issues of regulations, and there's, of course, a new competitive landscape. So I don't have time to go through very deeply in this all these four issues. I just take, you know, some of the spots that I want to share with you. Let's look at the economic scenario. The economic scenario is important for the business plan, but, you know, for the banking sector. We live in a time where we have so many, let's say, issues in international scenario. I don't want to take you very, very long, but we have trade tension. We have that, you know, having an important and relevant impact on the global trade. The U.S. economy is in a good shape, but we have signs of important slowdown. The China expansion and economic policy is contrasting the slowdown, but the slowdown is in place. The European, in the euro area, the GDP is the GDP growth is well below the potential, and there's we have just faced in this recent months a deep deceleration in Germany and Italy, and then we have you know, monetary policy that are more, let's say, cautious in terms of increasing interest rate, even if, you know, there's an increasing forecast for U.S. but for the ECB. Monetary policy will still have, let's say, a loose in some way scenario. If we look at the Italian economy, as you know, the slowing down is of the international trade and domestic political uncertainty will continue, have already penalized and will continue to penalize economic growth in Italy for 2019. The second part of the year probably will have, you know, a small. We evaluate a small benefit of the positive impulse of fiscal measures, and the lending in this environment will remain very, very low, very low trend and growth perspectives. The policy rate due for the weakness of the euro area, the policy rates will remain low for longer, and we think that there will be a new TLTRO that will be announced very soon. This is our forecast. We think that will be around, you know, mid of the year, and the Italian and that's in some way a positive news for the Italian, for the European, and of course for the Italian banking sector. another thing is that due to this, let's say, fiscal policy issues and the debt issue mainly in Italy, and in the political uncertainty, the spread, the sovereign spread will remain high still, you know, more than 200 basis points and not going below that at the end of 2021. So this is, you know, the forecast, our view for the interest rates. So interest rate very low for 2019 and then a slightly increase in 2020 and 21. And spread that will reduce from 2050 around 2000 at the end of the 2021. What will the impact in the Italian, in the banking sector of this, let's say, very brief outlook of the Italian macroeconomic scenario? That the nominal GDP will, you know, have a very modest rate of growth, and the loans, credit, will be, you know, will grow in a very low rate pace. And you see, there will be probably some more in the households, around 3% on the scenario. And what we forecast is 2019 negative, already negative, also negative for, or better, again negative for the non-financial corporation, and a slightly modest positive rates in 2020-2021. Cost of funding is an issue. Cost of funding, you know, we already pay, and the banking, Italian banking sector is paying a risk premium that is very well shown in this chart. But we also have a structural change in the funding of the banks. The MREL is coming not, you know, in 2019 or 2020, but the funding strategy of the bank have to consider this issue. We have, you know, there are some. Let's say issues that to be defined at the European level, but the increase in subordinated debt and issue by the banks will be one of the main problems for the next 3 years. So funding and liquidity will be an issue for the banking sector, the European one, but mainly for the Italian one. So in the past we had NPE problem that's still here, but also we had a liquidity and funding issue to be managed for the next 3 years. Taking into account all these issues, so a low level of activity, of loan mainly, cost of funding that, you know, has to face with these structure changes, what will be the expectation or the trend for the net interest income? Well, you know, here there's in this chart we have, you know, make an index based, you know, 100 and 2007. You see that the a sharp reduction in net interest income now is around the one for customer is 50% below 2008. So it means that half of the, let's say, net interest income from customer, you know, now this is structural. There's no perspective to increase in the future. You see, you know, with this a positive rate, but, you know, it's still there. So revenues from that level, that activity is not increasing. And we don't reach, you know, the past level anymore. The economic scenario is not in such a way or shape to allow this. And, of course, In the recent years, you know, there have been a movement, you know, diversification effects, so more contribution from commission fees and commissions. You see, there's important, you know, in this orange line, you see the increase in fees from asset management. They will, you know, there might be. Important perspective in the future, but not at the same rate that we experienced in the last 3 years. So positive, but, you know, not so strong increase like we registered in the last 3 or 4 years. But if you see this, the blue line is the total income, the gross income. So interest and net interest income, and the fees and commission is almost flat, a little bit positive, but flat. So it means that in this scenario, the possibility to, let's say, improve profitability to a very strong increase in revenues, in total revenue, is very limited. So the profitability has to come from another source of activity, cost reductions, changing the business model, but revenues is limited. There's a limited possibility to, let's say, improve profitability. We have also, in some way, I don't want to say, we can consider positive news in terms of the new bad loans, outstanding loans, you know, the, let's say, a proxy of probability of default for the firms. You see that there's been a sharp reduction from 2013. Now, but we forecast a reduction also in the next 3 years. But the positive news is that even if the economic scenario is quite weak, we don't have a rebound, let's say. So we don't have this increase in probability of default. And this is, you know, a different situation. The firms are in well shape, in a better condition in terms of the balance sheet, and also the banks have done an important, let's say, change in the portfolio, loan portfolio composition. But we still have a problem. We are more than in the middle. We started a process of reducing the non-performing loan. We think that this process has to be keep in a very, you know, an important way from the banks. So we forecast a further asset, let's say, NPL disposal. We forecast more than around 100 billion euro disposal for the next 3 years. Regulatory supervisory constraint at the addendum in the flows, and also, you know, the famous letters from the ECB considering the stock issues. So this is forcing and driving the banks to accelerate and to keep the acceleration on reducing the non-performing loan. It's still an issue. Consider that we have to face liquidity problem. Liquidity problem means risk premium. If we don't have, the banking sector is now reducing the risk in the balance sheet, is going to pay a later higher premium and then reducing margin and reducing the possibility to improve profitability. So this is our forecast in terms of reduction in NPL ratio, so sharp reduction that's still going on during the next 3 years. And this will have an effect on the cost of risk. There's our forecast for cost of risk. You see the shadow bars. In the shadow bar, we consider the effect of the asset, the non-performing disposal. When you accelerate and you dispose some non-performing loans, sometimes you have to, let's say, make further, let's say, you have an extra cost and a cost of risk. So at the end, we are 92% of cost of risk, included the extraordinary provision that we are going to forecast. Otherwise, we'll be around 73% the forecast. The last, but also very, very important issue is find the way of improving profitability from cost. Cost reduction, there has been an important cost reduction. We have a cost income on the overall Italian banking sector that is quite high, around 70%. Our forecast is to reduce around 10.9% on a three-year horizon, and it means reducing further reduction in branch structure. We forecast less than 20%, 12% of reduction in the next 3 year in branch structure, and also reducing in employment. 8% is our forecast for the period 19-21. That is summing up to the minus 21% in branches in the last 10 years and minus 18% in employing in the last 10 years. Of course, in this reduction of cost income, there will be, and we have to find the banking sector has to find a place to invest in innovation and to improve and to finance all the digital transformation process that all the banking sector, not only the Italian one, has to face. The ending picture in the our scenario is that, you know, you remember the equity gap between the return on equity and the cost of capital. Of course, there's it's difficult to close. We still have this gap. It's a positive news. It's a negative news. We might consider that this is a positive news, even if the gap is not closed. Why is positive? Because you have to finance on the balance sheet, on the P&L of the Italian, the banking sector, in this case, of the Italian banking sector, further reduction in NPL ratio. So asset disposal has to be financed again for the next 3 years, and improving the efficiency of the banking sector. One of the things that is difficult to reduce is this cost of capital. Cost of capital is still quite high. And, of course, this is not only a problem of the banking sector, but also of the risk premium that the country is paying on law for the public debt. That, of course, is has an effect on this. In a short, we could say the slowdown in the economy will be limit the recovery in lending. Funding will be more expensive for the ECB. It will probably offer support to renewal of a new TLTRO. Banks will need to continue to work on balance sheet cleaning. This is an important issue for our view. Profitability will continue to be driven mainly by cost of risk reduction. And digital transformation will play a key role in changing the business model to support profitability. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Professor Lusignani, for this interesting presentation. I think that gives the right background in which we are going to implement our three-year new business plan. And now I think that we are ready to start the presentation of the plan. Okay, I would like also to mention the page for who is via conference call. So on page three of our presentation, this is the second business plan since my appointment as the CEO of BPER Group in 2014. But the history of our group is much longer. So started to operate over 150 years ago as a small local bank based in Modena. But after many years growth organically and inorganically, today we are the sixth Italian banking group by asset with a presence in a large part of the country. Probably one of the main characteristics are the many mergers and acquisitions in the last part of our history. And also thinking about the last event, I would like to mention Nuova Carife last year, and this year Unipol Banca. We now move to page four, the group has undergone important changes following a clear path outlined in the previous plan. And thanks to this, we are now in a position of strength, not only to face the challenges of the market, but also to take advantage of the opportunity ahead. Let me briefly remind you what I think are the most important things we have achieved over the last past 3 years. First of all, I think the most important is de-risking. our gross NPE ratio has declined by 10 percentage points since the peak seen in 2016. And at the same time, we have maintained a strong regulatory capital position. The second element is that we have further developed our commercial capabilities. In particular, now we have a specialized company in consumer finance, Banca di Sassari, and we have also renewed and announced our long-term bank insurance partnership with the Unipol Group. The third element is the simplification and optimization of the operating model, and we announced our efficiency by reviewing back office model and delayering our central functions. Last, we have rationalized our distribution model. We have closed 180 branches, implemented the hub and spoke model, and we introduced the cash light branches. On page five, you know that we have announced in February three important strategic transactions which will enable us to enhance our scale, first of all, market share and client base, create significant value thanks to the realization of synergies, improve our gross NPE ratio, and maintaining a solid capital position with a number of potential levers to further boost our capital ratio. Now let's move to page six. In this slide, we thought it may be helpful to spend a few words to explain the starting point of the new business plan. As you can see, our 2018 starting point will be pro forma for the impact of non-recurring items, the acquisition of Banco di Sardegna minorities, and the two transactions with Unipol Group. In other words, when you will benchmark the 2021 financial targets with 2018 actuals, the perimeter will be homogeneous, and therefore the KPI will be comparable. In the pro forma, we did not include ARCA transaction. You can find better details on the pro forma process on page 36. Before moving on to our next section, where I will describe the key initiatives of the plan, let me briefly remind you in page 7 and 8 what we are today in a few words. As I said before, we are the sixth largest banking group in Italy with assets exceeding 80 billion euros, with around 1,500 branches distributed across the entire country and over 2.7 million highly loyal clients. We offer a very broad range of products to our clients thanks to a number of other factories and strategic partnerships. We are very proud for all the achievements reached so far, and we are confident that we can achieve our objectives with a view to delivering sustainable value to all our shareholders. Moving to page 10, our business plan assumptions are very conservative and reflect the current macroeconomic environment, as described some minutes before by Professor Lusignani, and reflect the current macroeconomic environment characterized by expectation of slower growth both abroad and in Italy. On page 35, I will provide you with all the macro assumptions we used to build our plan projection. Moving to page 11, the business plan is articulating on three key pillars. These pillars are in continuity with the path undertaken in the last few years, but also factor in the macro outlook without forgetting the rapid changes that are ongoing in the banking system. The three key pillars are, further business and revenue growth, increased efficiency, de-risking acceleration. In addition, the group will focus on three important levers which will be key in order to achieve the three pillars: focus on digital transformation, strong involvement of our employees in training programs and work flexibility, strong attention to our territory of presence. Moving to page 12, we expect to achieve by the end of the plan an increase in profitability with a 2021 net profit in the 450 million euro area and an implied return on tangible equity of around 10%. The net profit improvement will be mainly driven by a reduction of our cost base, and this gives you an idea of the low execution risk of this plan. A significant strengthening in our capital position with a common equity and ratio fully phased at around 12.5%, with potential upside from the switch of Unipol Banca to IRB and to the potential conversion of the additional Tier 1 instrument by Fondazione Sardegna. An average dividend payout of around 25%, higher than the 16% announced for 2018. These targets will be achieved through the implementation of our three key pillars: further business and revenue growth, driven by significant increase in commission income, with a plus 3.6% CAGR, increased efficiency with a significant decline in our cost base, leading to a cost-income ratio below 59% in 2021, de-risking acceleration with a gross NPE ratio declining from current 11.6% to below 9% in 2021, and the 2021 cost of risk of 60 basis points area broad in line with 2018. Now, let's move back to the three pillars and the three levers representing the core of our industrial plan. As you see, the first pillar is growth and development of the business. This pillar is based on four major initiatives. The first is linked to the strengthening our partnership with Arca Vita and Arca Assicurazioni. Indeed, Banca Assurance will play a key role in the acceleration of our revenue growth, and it will become a pivotal element of our business model. We expect to grow our insurance premia with a 19% CAGR over the next 3 years. Also, we aim to increase the penetration of our insurance products within our customer base by 6 percentage points by 2021. We have identified three key initiatives to reach this goal: strengthening of the distribution model with the full integration of our insurance offer across all channels and the launch of specific sale campaigns; establishment of a team fully dedicated to bank assurance with the recruiting of insurance specialists and the launch of a wide change management plan; full integration of Arca Vita Arca Assicurazioni system within BPERS. The second main driver of the revenue expansion is represented by wealth management growth. We expect the commission from direct funding to grow at a CAGR over 4% over the next 3 years. Moreover, the share of asset under management over indirect funding for retail clients will grow by 5 percentage points, reaching 86% in 2021. First of all, we'll strengthen our product factory with a particular focus on Optima, our company specialized in investment services and asset management, and on our Luxembourg SICAV. Secondly, we'll further specialize our distribution model with the development of 25-30% centers, sorry, for private clients, the strengthening of our dedicated task force for the key clients, and the development of a network of financial advisors. Finally, we will innovate and rationalize our offer with a new catalog of alternative investment for our high-potential customers. On the consumer credit side, we will significantly develop Banca di Sassari. We are satisfied for the result of 2018, but we see more room to increase this business. And comparing 2019-2021 with the previous 3 years period, we expect a significant increase in new business. Specifically, personal loans are expected to grow by 38%, while the salary-backed loans are to increase by over 200%. This growth will be supported by three main drivers. The first one is the consolidation and development of consumer credit with the improvement of internal processes, the extension of Banca di Sassari products to the non-captive market, and the development of new credit pre-acceptance processes. The second one is the development of payment services with an improvement of our organizational structure and the definition of a growth strategy addressing also non-captive clients. Finally, the third driver is the development of the distribution model with the reinforcement of all our channels. On the corporate side, we will continue the path started a few years ago with three main initiatives. We aim at improving the value proposition for all our business clients with an optimized range of value-added products and services. This will result in a consistent increase of our stock of short-term corporate and SME loans, which will grow at 5% CAGR between 2018 and 2021. The first of three initiatives is Global Advisory for Businesses. It consists in the development of multi-service specialist teams, both at central and territorial level. These teams will follow our clients, focusing on their financial and consulting needs, with particular attention to internationalization and structured sources of financing. Moreover, we'll create teams of highly specialized professionals dedicated to the development of our clients in specific sectors of excellence. Finally, we'll invest for supporting our clients in the management of extraordinary events such as access to the capital market and financial for growth. And this also considering the positive experience in 2018. The second pillar of our 2019-2021 plan is efficiency increase and simplification, which will be achieved working on several areas. On the areas we are focusing on is the evolution of distribution model, and it is supported by four main drivers. With the footprint rationalization, we'll optimize our network by closing 230 branches, minus 16% versus 2018. Over 50% of them will be closed in 2019. The second driver will be focused on the reorganization and streamlining of our network's governance, ensuring a more efficient organization and at the same time a tighter control of the network. With the third driver, we introduce new branch formats characterized by an elevated automation and very lean organization. Finally, with the branch processes optimization, we'll simplify cash management processes and centralize all non-commercial activity to middle back office. This will allow our front-end employees to focus on more value-added activities. on page 21, I think is the last step of the simplification process started many years ago. In addition to the evolution of the distribution network, we will be focused on the reduction of legal entities, which will also contribute to the strengthening of our governance. Group structure will be consistently simplified with the integration in BPER Banca of Unipol Banca, Cassa di Risparmio di Bra, Cassa di Risparmio di Saluzzo, and BPER Services. As a result, by 2021, we will only have two commercial banks, BPER Banca and Banco di Sardegna. On page 22, one area which will receive our attention is real estate. We have a real estate portfolio of around 1 billion euro. We aim to develop an extra significant value out of it. In particular, we create an active real estate management unit. This will be a highly specialized task force centralizing all group real estate activities. These activities include the management of not only our business properties, but also all the assets received as collateral for NPEs. In addition, we work on space optimization through space management, rationalization of the footprint and smart working. We remark unused spaces and redistribute the work across our main headquarters of Modena, Bologna, and Ferrara. Moving on to page 23, the operation IT side will significantly streamline and evolve our back-end processes while continuing investing in IT systems. On the first point, we'll perform an end-to-end review of all our operational processes. As a result, they'll be consistently simplified and streamlined. Moreover, we dematerialized our operation and introduce the use of robots and artificial intelligence, as we have already experienced during 2018. We'll also improve our performance in capacity management models. This will bring a significant increase of our operational productivity. On the IT side, we'll invest 27 million euro over the coming 3 years. They'll be used for renewing our IT system and extensively adopting cloud technologies. This will result in a reduced time to market and an increased operational efficiency. In addition, we'll insource the IT system used by Unipol Banca. In a significant part of the cost saving, as you can see on page 24, is related to the workforce reduction. As you can see on the chart, we are planning to reduce our workforce by 1,300 units, 9% of the 2018 total number of employees over the next 3 years. This goal will be achieved through voluntary exits, leveraging on solidarity fund, as well as through the termination of 230 temporary hiring contracts. The plan also includes the hiring of 400 new resources with the aim of acquiring new competencies and qualified skills. Finally, a partial redeployment of the staff will bring to an increase of ratio between central and network employees. Overall, the plan will unlock running savings of more 80 million per year at a one-off cost of 180-200 million. The third pillar of 2019-2021 plan is acceleration in the de-risking process. On page 26, first of all, we'll focus on our credit management process. The underwriting will be strengthened with a focus on corporate segment. A commercial performance evaluation system linked to asset quality will ensure a tighter control of the new production, and the IRB models for credit management will be extended to CR Bra, CR Saluzzo, and to the large corporate segment, and later to Unipol Banca. Moreover, credit positions will be proactively manage, signaling potential red flags and using the forbearance in a proactive way with targeted actions on specific asset classes. In addition to the strengthening of our credit management process, we introduce a new and more advanced model for the NPE management. On page 27, the evolution of the NPE management will be achieved through the improvement and reorganization of the managing and recovery processes. With a new organizational setup, we'll increase the specialization by client segments, also will improve the workout process and increase the number of NPE positions to be outsourced. Moreover, we will leverage on the active management of the NPE's portfolio with additional disposal of 1 billion linked to the extraordinary operation with Unipol Bank. This effort will be supported by the migration of the new platform of NPE management and recovery. So the gross NPE ratio will be below 9% in 2021. So very quickly, as anticipated, beside the three pillars we have just described, there are three levers which also pivotal for our 2019-2021 industrial plan. The first one, as you can see, is digital transformation. The first initial link to our digital transformation will be the evolution of our ICT systems towards an omni-channel model. All channels will be integrated to our CRM, allowing advanced functionalities such as real-time marketing and right channeling. Our corporate banking platform will be fully renovated. The second initiative will be the full digitalization of our sales processes with the possibility to remotely activate a wide range of products. Last but not least, we'll develop a light banking solution leveraging on the open banking platform of Fabric. The second key lever of our industrial plan are the people. Our people, they are the key element for the success of this group, and this is why we are planning a significant investment on them. Firstly, we are planning a series of initiatives aimed to enhancing their involvement. On page 31, here I particularly want to stress our commitment for the inclusion and focus on our employees' diversities. In addition, we'll further develop the group welfare. As a testament to our commitment on this plan, we have also introduced a specific incentive system, LTI, linked to the achievement of the industrial plan targets. In terms of development plans, we have planned a significant investment in our employees with specific training and coaching plans to support the growth of personal digital competences. Finally, with the aim of improving our employees' well-being, we will launch a flexibility program with the introduction of smart working and hub working. Before moving on to the financial targets, let me briefly describe our commitment to the community. As it is in our DNA, we will continue to support the growth and the development of the territories and the communities we work with. First of all, we will keep reducing our environmental footprint, investing on the sustainability of our facilities and on the smart mobility of our employees. Secondly, we will continue the successful path of our cultural and educational initiatives. 66,000 of students will be involved by 2021 in financial education initiatives. Finally, we will work on the sustainability of our entire value chain with strict rating requirements for all our own bank as well as for our suppliers. Now, let's move to the session where we provide more granularity on our financial targets. Page 35. As already mentioned in page 10, our plan is based on conservative macro assumptions with a moderate increase of interest rates and limited in our Italian GDP growth, driven by a slowdown in the international economy and by a number of uncertainties. We also took into account the current regulatory environment, which still appears complex and in flux and requires a strong attention to capital, liquidity, and investment in IT. Page 36, I would skip, as I already explained in page 6, how we calculated our 2018 starting point. Next page, 37, 38, let's skip directly to 39. Our goal is to increase our net profit from 366 million euros in 2018 to around 450 million euros in 2021. Looking at the pre-tax income evolution, we can appreciate the key drivers for this increase. First, significant reduction in our cost base, which is the main driver of the net profit increase. In addition, our revenues will moderately grow with an increase in net commissions that more than offset the reduction in trading income. Therefore, the quality of our revenues will also improve with a lower reliance on trading income. Asset quality new provisions will slightly increase, but this is mainly due to the increase in volumes, given that cost of risk in 2021 is expected to remain broadly flat versus 2018 at around 60 basis points. Moving to the detail on page 40, we show the breakdown of revenues. As you can see, we have been very conservative on the net interest margin development. The slight growth is mainly driven by the development of higher margin consumer finance business. As previously mentioned, net commission grew by around 3.6% per year, driven by wealth management and bank assurance, while we assume a reduction in trading income. Moving to page 41, net interest margin related to customer growth at 3.4% growth is primarily driven by volumes, given that the spread remains broadly flat over time. Net interest margin related to financial management goes down, mainly due to the institutional issuance plan to replace current maturities and TLTRO, which is expected to have a higher cost of funding. Obviously, if there will be a new TLTRO, the NII evolution will be better. Commission income growth will be driven by an increase in wealth management and bank assurance products, which is a key priority of our business plan. Page 42, we show our plan with regard to our cost base, which is expected to be reduced by around 120 million euros, broadly split equally between personal and administrative expenses costs. Such initiative will enable the group to substantially reduce its cost-income ratio from 64% to below 59%. Page 43, we provide some details on the development of our cost base broken down by personal costs, other administrative expenses, and D&A. Moving to page 44, with regard to asset quality, we will continue our de-risking process. and we aim to achieve in 2021 a gross NPE ratio below 9% and a Texas ratio in the 65% area, in line with best in class. We plan to further increase our NPL coverage ratio from current 49% to around 54%, and we estimate that our 2021 cost of risk will remain broadly flat versus 2018. Page 45, on the right-hand side, we show the development of the NPEs from 2018 to 2021 with a decrease of around 23%. This last year, 2018, we had a reduction by 33%. On one hand, we estimate a new gross NPE inflows by around 3 billion euros. On the other hand, an NPE reduction of around 5 billion euros driven by a combination of both NPL management and disposal. Moving on to page 46, total funding is expected to grow at a CAGR of around 2.5%. Direct funding is expected to grow at plus 3.7% CAGR, driven by increased institutional funding. Indirect funding is expected to grow at 2.5% CAGR, mainly due to asset under management and life insurance. On page 47, we provide more granularity on institutional funding with 5 billion euros of new issuances between 2019 and 2021 in order to face bond maturities and reimburse the LTRO. In addition, we expect our liquidity ratio to be fully compliant with regulatory requirement in 2021. Moving to page 48, our capital position will be further strengthened with our current common equity ratio of 11.4%, increasing at around 12.5%. Such estimate is conservative as it does not take into account the potential switch of Unipol Banca to IRB and also the potential conversion of the additional Tier 1 instrument by Fondazione di Sardegna. On the Common Equity Tier 1 capital side, if we exclude the impacts from M&A transaction, the increase will be driven by the strong organic capital generation. On the RWA side, if we exclude the impacts from the M&A transaction, RWAs will decline mainly thanks to the switch to the IRB on certain businesses of the group. Page 49, we provide you with an overall summary of the financial targets I have just described to you. Moving to page 50, just to wrap up, we are very proud to announce our new 2019-2021 business plan. Over the last few years, our group has undergone important changes, and as a result, we are now in a position of strength not only to face the challenges of the market, but also to take advantage of the opportunities ahead. Our business plan is based on conservative assumptions. It is characterized by low execution risk, and therefore, we are highly confident we will achieve all the objectives we have outlined in our presentation. As a reminder, let me recap the key drivers of our plan. Number one, further business and revenue growth. Number two, increased efficiency. Number three, acceleration of de-risking and further strengthening of our capital position. I thank you very much for attending this presentation. Now I ask our CFO, Roberto Ferrari, and our Head of Planning and Control, Alessandro Simonazzi, to join me for the Q&A session, and I hand over to Gilberto to explain what we are going to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Alessandro. Just to move on, we are ready to start the Q&A session. As I said at the beginning, first we are going to take questions from the room here, from people in the room, and then afterwards we take questions from the people who are connected via conference call. Just a reminder, I kindly request you to identify yourself with name and your company, any, before asking questions. Thank you very much.
Hi. Christian Carrese from Intermonte. I have three questions. The first one on net interest income, the second one on asset quality, and the third one on capital evolution. On net interest income, I was wondering if you can elaborate a little bit what do you expect in terms of cost of funding, taking into account the new MREL regulation. We saw the slide where you highlight what you are expected to issue in the three-year plan. If you can give us an idea of what you expect in terms of cost of funding. And on TLTRO, it's clear that you didn't include the possibility of a new round of TLTRO, but it's quite likely that will come, maybe less convenient than in the past. I was wondering if you can tell us what are your expectations in terms of take-up, if there will be a new TLTRO. And the contribution of the financial portfolio in the plan, we saw the presentation of the vice chairman of Prometea saying that net interest income from customers are not expected to pick up in the next couple of years. So if you can, we saw yesterday ECB showing that holdings by banks for Italian govies has increased by 15 billion in January. So it can give us some colors on the financial portfolio evolution in the three-year plan. The second question is on just a clarification. You didn't include the 81. You didn't assume 81 conversion in the plan, and you do included the cost of the 81. The second question is on NPE. If you can split between the reduction between internal workout and disposal. I understand you have some buffers in terms of capital because you didn't include the 81 conversion and also the IRB model migration for Unipol Banca. According to my estimate, you could increase common equity by over 100 basis points if you're going to do this kind of action. So I was wondering, in the case common equity tier 1 will be higher than the 12.5% target you gave, if you could think about a further disposals of the NPEs to reduce further the ratio. And finally, on capital ratio, if you can elaborate from a regulatory point of view. So the EBA guideline, IFRS 16, TRIM effect on the target you gave. Thank you.
So we start with a very long, an incredible. So Christian, thank you very much. We are going to finish this meeting with the first question. No, I'm joking. First of all, I would like to give you some quality element on the NII, and then I ask to Roberto to go through the details. First of all, we try to have a very cautious approach, and also on the TLTRO, and I explained before that our expectation is to see very soon some clear communication from the ECB, but we decided not to have nothing on this, on our estimation for the NII trend. The second point is that we decided to support our NII, try to switch the composition of the loan book portfolio. You know that our point of view is that consumer credit is a strategic area for BPER. I would like to give you an example. Today, the spread on this area is around 5.56%. So let's say, I try to give an example that I use very often with my colleagues, is that 1 billion
in this area is more or less like 10 billion in other areas like key clients or corporate or large corporate. What is important is to have a very low cost of risk. And this is possible when you work on your traditional customer base. And this is our strategy, and we are ready to go also on the open market, but very, very carefully. So for this reason, we think that in this area, we can have a support for our NII strategy. At the same time, I think it's important to go on the market. And so we are planning in particular to go on the market with cover bond and also with other instruments for to be compliant with the MREL requirement. Let's say that today we are well above the limit of MREL requirement communicated last year. And anyway, we are planning some activity on the financial market. Please, Roberto.
Okay. Christian, thank you. So I start from the contribution of the financial portfolio. The contribution in 2018 for BPER Bank was in the region of 160 million. The contribution in 2021 for BPER Bank and actually Unipol Bank, the combined entity, will be in the region of 190 million. The total portfolio will be 18.3 billion, our assumption, and it is actually the same ratio that we have compared to tangible equity. We didn't increase our stake of Italian government bond. You said the Italian banks bought, and actually you saw actually that the size went up in January and February. We decided to keep the stock stable, and we are at 5 billion, that it is around 100% of our equity. And so actually we are still pursuing a strategy of diversification in the portfolio. So we grew the portfolio, but we grew mainly core European issuer, clearly with a lower yield. We will see in the future is if we will increase the Italian government bonds. At the moment, we are not in this mood. In terms of cost of funding, actually, you saw that our funding plan is mainly based on issuances of covered bond. The spread that we embed is around 90 basis points. We have also a small issuance of a Tier 2 bond where the spread should be in the region of 450. Actually, the spread now is a little bit higher, but considering a small amount, it will the impact will be, I would say, minimal, marginal. And then we will issue for MREL reason. We have a positive buffer on MREL at the moment. We will issue in our plan 1.2 billion of MREL eligible liabilities. We didn't decide yet if they will be senior bonds or senior non-preferred bonds on the wholesale market. Clearly, we will issue them on the wholesale market.
Moving on to non-performing stock. Let's start with one element. I consider really very successful the action managed by BPER in the last 3 years. If you consider that in 2016 we were at 23.5 NPE gross ratio, we closed last year at 13.8, and now we have already an intervention to reduce our NPE gross ratio at 13.5. So this is, I think, the most important element to confirm our strong commitment on in this area. Said this, speaking about the next 3 years, let's say that our expectation to close, to have a disposal in a range of 2-3 billion euro, 1 billion is already in our hands because it is part of the deal on Unipol Banca, and we expect to close it
I hope by the end of the first half or immediately after this, but it depends on the process of the authorization by the ECB. So this is one, and we have another 1-2 billion that we want to complete the disposal by the end of 2021. This range is due to the fact that we want to understand what will be the trend on default. You know, we have a very strong improvement in the last 3 years. So if you think that 2 years ago we had 4%, more than 4% in default rate, today we are below 2. We expect a further improvement in this area, but you know, the environment is changing, so this is the reason because we want to have a very prudent approach. The second point is that we have a company in our group, the name is Beaver Credit Management, is a company specialized in the recovery of non-performing bad loans, and the performances in the last 3 years, we set up 3 years ago, this company are absolutely positive. So we want to be flexible on the market so we take advantage if there will be some opportunity. And at the end, speaking about our capital position, you are right. We have flexibility. We have room to increase our capital position. And this is important to have flexibility also in managing the disposal action. I think that this is a point of strength of our group, because also after these important deals in February, we are ready to go on with the risking. And I think that 9%, we said below 9%, I would like to see what will be, how much is below 9%, but we have many room to increase our strong action on the risking. On the capital, Roberto.
Okay, in terms of capital evolution, we have a yearly plan where we should be above 12% already at the end of this year. 12.10 actually is our assumption. We should be close to 13% at the end of 2020 and above 12.5% in 2021. We embed in our plan the impact of rollouts of Cerre Bra, Cerre Saluzzo, and Sarda Leasing, the impact of the TRIM, a part in 2019, and an important part in actually not the, the TRIM in 2019, and we embed also the impact of the new definition of default. In 2019, we have an anticipation and add-on, and we will have the last impact, the important impact, in 2021. And we embed the PMI supporting factor that should be inside the CRR. Very conservatively, we don't embed the impact on LGD, so the waiver on LGD of our disposal activity. So in the plan, we have embedded the impact on LGD of our disposal. If the CRR will provide a waiver, actually the final version of the CRR actually will have an important beneficial impact on our risk-weighted assets. And at the end of 2021, we will have also a savings in term of relief in term of risk-weighted assets through the last implementation of the new definition of default. So we embed in our plan, in our development, all the impacts of the new guidelines. As you know, Basel III will be after 2021.
Hello, Bernardi from Fidentiis. One question of, on one-off cost, when do you intend to book the 200 million euros? So maybe up front or maybe split over the horizon of the plan. And secondly, on Arca, yesterday I was in the call of Anima and the CEO said he would be very happy to talk to you about Arca. As far as I know, you told us that you don't want to remain the major shareholder of Arca for long. So, wondering, you didn't include Arca in the plan, so I was wondering whether you may have an idea about the final destination of the SGR. Thank you.
Okay, the first one was about the one-off cost or redundancy plan. Okay. We estimated, as I said during the presentation, a cost between 180 and 200 million euro. I think that it will be on the balance sheet 2019, and so I hope to have the opportunity to complete the agreement with the union in the coming month. About ARCA, first of all, let's say that we are satisfied for the conclusion of this very long process. You know that today there are two Vicenza and Veneto Bank, 40% of ARCA. What is the first element? From my perspective, it was important to have an alignment with Popolare Sondrio. So our decision was to go together to complete the acquisition of this 40%. And I think it is important to give stability to the governance of this important asset manager. I would like to express clearly how it is important for BPER. BPER distributes around more than 11 billion euro of ARCA products. So we are the first distributor of ARCA products, and we are absolutely proud of this because the performances in the last 3-4 years are absolutely positive. Said this, let's say, is a news of only 1 week ago, and my approach is to find the opportunity to have a very constructive discussion with Popolare Sondrio to decide together what is the best for ARCA. I confirm that for BPER is a strategic investment because, as I said before, there is a lot of important distribution. If you think that more than 200,000 people or our clients use ARCA, and for this reason we want to be very prudent in managing this shareholding. So I hope to have the opportunity to have a constructive discussion with BPER, with Sondrio, and to decide about the future of this asset manager.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for the presentation. This is Jean-François Neres from Goldman Sachs. I had a few questions on net interest income. The first one is, when I looked at the assumptions for Euribor, they are anywhere for 2021 and 2020, anywhere between 50 basis points above the futures as of they are now. So I just wanted to know whether you'd be able to share a sensitivity to your Euribor rates in the net interest income. The second thing is, on the TLTRO renewal, I mean, I observed that throughout the TLTRO periods, the net interest margins for all banks have fallen. This has been in line with the ECB policy to ease monetary transmission through this policy. You seem to imply that as it gets withdrawn, the net interest margin could suffer because of funding replacement, etc. So I would have thought that this would have rather helped you repricing your loan book, just the opposite movement as what has happened over the last few years. Is it because you feel that the TLTRO has helped you gain market share that you will have a hard time competing for once this is withdrawn, or could you please explain the headwind? And the last one I wanted to ask was on IT. So you had a slide on IT. There are a lot of banks, in particular in Northern Europe, who've been making a big song and dance about IT investments in the billions. This is something that hasn't been so present in Italian business plans, and I just wanted to understand how you feel you compare today on that front with the bigger competitors who've been more maybe vocal about the investment over the past few years. Thank you very much.
So on the first question, NII is obviously in this environment a very important issue.
I would like to express some general and qualitative analysis, and then I ask Roberto to complete also the analysis on the quantitative side. I would like to express what is the approach of BPER in managing NII. And there are some particular characteristics that is, in my view, extremely important to take into account thinking about the evolution of the NII. First of all, BPER has a very low exposure to wholesale market. So our customer base is very important, and our funding is mainly based on customer. And this is the typical approach of BPER Group since the beginning of our history. So the customer base is fundamental for managing the NII. And this particular situation, I think, is important to explain that we have flexibility in managing the funding cost. Because, I repeat, to have this very low exposure is important not to be obliged to go on the market when probably the yields here are higher, and so try to have the best time for the issuance of potential instrument on the market. And this is, I think, a characteristic, a typical characteristic of BPER that probably is one of the banks with the lowest level of exposure on the wholesale market. At the same time, also when we completed some issuance on the market, the success of the issuance are absolutely positive for the level of yield of paid by our group. Roberto, if you want to complete some elements about the NII.
Okay, thank you. In terms of sensitivity, actually our sensitivity is around 8% in net interest income for an increase in rates of 100 basis points. And in terms of economic value, our sensitivity is 5% of our tangible assets, tangible equity for an increase of 200 basis points in rates. So clearly, we are asset sensitive, as I would say every bank in Italy. In terms of TLTRO, clearly, we see at the moment an initial phase of repricing on the lending side, very initial. It is very difficult to understand the magnitude of the repricing, but we see banks are repricing. And if there is a TLTRO, clearly I would say we will have benefits on the cost of funding side because we would participate. It is very economical. We don't see any reason why we shouldn't participate as in the last TLTRO with the amount we can get, because actually it is an opportunity in terms of cost, lower costs. Clearly, if there is a new TLTRO, it will have implication also on the asset side, and so spreads will stay low.
Alessandro, on the IT side.
Yes, on IT side, I think it's a good question because we think that the IT platform is crucial for the future, and we know that Northern banks and biggest banks invest a lot on IT platforms and new technologies. We can't compete with them with the same approach. So what we expect to do is to have a different approach for core platform and for new technologies. Core business has to be managed inside with a strong platform. New technologies, digital and other things can be outsourced, or we can join activities of other platforms and other operators in order to develop our business. And another thing is we don't want to compete in every field, but we have to choose the best fields for us. So investments in IT platforms are important for our group. At page 23, you see that 45% increase in investments only dedicated on IT for IT. On top, we have other investments about IT for business. We have divided the investments in IT for IT, so development of technologies, and IT for business, that is another huge amount of investments on one-off platforms.
Good morning to everybody. Riccardo Rovere, Mediobanca. A couple of questions, if I may. The first one is just wanted to be 100% sure I got it correctly. In the plan, you assume 1 or 2 billion of additional NPL disposal. Is that correct? And if I got it correctly, is 1 or 2? Because that would make a little bit of a difference, honestly. The second question I have is on the tax rate, I see 28%, which is well below the normalized 33%. So I would imagine you are accounting for some tax loss carry forwards or DTAs. If that is the case, how much that is? And finally, if you can give us an idea of the phasing of the rollout of internal models in the local subsidiaries, when this should be visible on RWA, and also a brief idea of the phasing of the cost savings on both FTAs, staff costs, and other administrative expenses. Thanks.
So I will take your first question, and then I ask to my colleagues to give some elements about the tax rate and the phasing of also the alignment to internal model of the other legal entities. About the disposal, so I said before, and I try to repeat, then I give you also some more flavor about this element. We have already... In the coming 3 years, we have, I said before, a range between 2 and 3, included 1 billion already in our hands because it is part of the transaction of Unipol Bank. We are working for another portion of portfolio of bad loans, so let's say another billion or more. We are working on also on unlikely to pay for the first time. So this is a new project, and probably during 2019, for the first time, we try to understand how works this market of unlikely to pay. So the reason of the range is to have some elements coming from this new experience on unlikely to pay. Said this, let's say, after 3 billion in the last year, 2018, we want to continue in performing disposal, and today we have also, capabilities in our staff to manage disposal. Also, our platform, Deeper Credit Management, is working to have a new portfolio. I want to take advantage of the market condition. Last disposal are absolutely in line with other expectations in terms of price, probably better than expected. And probably also the quality of the portfolio and also the quality of the details of the portfolio help us to complete these successful deals. Said this probably is, a problem of time when it will be possible to complete the transaction. Now the focus is to complete the first one. We want to go below 10 as short as is possible. So we want to complete the first disposal, 1 billion, and probably very close to the first one, the second one. When we will be below 10%, I think that we can manage with more flexibility the action on NPL. But we want to be in line with the best in class in Italy. This is our strong commitment, and let's say after the successful action in the last year, I think that we have the credibility to express clearly this important objective. There is something on the tax rate? No,
actually, in the 3 years, we have DTA that are around 75 million. For the last year, 2021, we are in the region of 15-20% of those numbers, so it is the smallest amount in 2021.
About the IB model extension, our expectation is in this 2020-2019 to have the alignment of Cassa di Risparmio di Bra. Frankly speaking, we are waiting for this in the last 6 months, so probably is related to the TRIM expansion that is already completed in BPER. Anyway, this in 2019 together with a large corporate. So this is our expectation for 2019. Then Sarda Leasing and Saluzzo, the other small saving banks based in Piedmont for 2021. And more or less, we have to start the analysis for Unipol Banca. It could be around 2021 or the beginning of 2022. This is difficult to say before the analysis of the portfolio and to have already completed some preliminary evaluation. Alessandro, there is...
Obviously, for what concerns Unipol Banca, some small benefits could be achieved also before, because on common clients with the bank. So, with the prudential approach, we didn't include the benefit inside the business plan. And we expect to be aligned in 2022, but potentially some benefits could be anticipated some time before.
On the phasing of the cost and the other administrative expenses, sorry.
So, for one-off effects in terms of redundancy plan, it could be impacting on 2019, but we expect to have the full benefit in 2021, because the release of people could be in two or three steps through 2020, not before. So from the beginning of 2020 to the end of 2020.
So people will leave in 2020.
This is our assumption at the moment.
And just then I promise
to manage with the unions the activities, the ordinary activities.
Get it back 1 second on NPs. From your comment, is it fair to understand that you are not expecting any major impact on the equity from the disposal of 1 or 2 billion?
Well, first of all, for the first 1 billion, we expect no any significant impact on P&L, on the 1 billion that we have already agreed with Unipol Rec. So no. The other is that we have, as you know, when we had the first time adoption, we applied a high coverage on a large portion of our NPE. So we have room to have another portion with very high level of coverage. So the expectation is not to have any significant impact or a manageable impact on P&L.
Hi. Hello. Hi. Can you hear me? Marta Bastoni from Bloomberg Intelligence. I have, first of all, a question of follow-up regarding the Euribor. Can you share with us what would be your plan B should rates actually not go up? Second, on cost, the cost synergy that you gave us on February the 8th were between 85 and 95 million, with a 70 one-off front-loaded cost. Now, the one-off front-loaded cost looks considerably bigger, and the synergies are the same, or to be precise, the cost reductions. Now, does that mean that you do not expect on the BPER standalone network to continue to save and to sort of reduce the cost base on that part of the bank? And would there be room for more? And last question is cost of risk. In the plan in 2021, cost of risk is actually, or provisions are actually higher than the current pro forma level. Can you give a little bit more color around that? Thank you.
So I take your last question, so I ask my colleagues to take the other two questions. First of all, the provisioning is a little bit higher, but the cost of risk is on the same level of 2018. So the difference is that in 2021, the size of the credit portfolio will be higher. At the same time, we want to be prudent on this because, as we presented in the business plan, we are working to increase the coverage. Today, the coverage is 49% on the average. We expect to have 54% in 2021. So we believe that 60 basis points is a prudent number for 2021. Could be better, but it depends also on the environment. So the prudent approach is due also to the situation today in Italy, and we want to have no surprise on the cost of risk. Anyway, I said that the combination of the trend in NII, commission on one side, cost of risk, and the cost base, at the end we will have and 450 million euro of net profit. When Professor Lusignani presented the gap between the cost of equity and the return on tangible of BPER Group, also today in 2018, so this is something that you can verify on an already completed year, our level of return on equity. So the gap between the cost of equity and our return is very, very small, and we are going to close the gap during the 3 years. I think it's a very important message that the starting point is not 2% of return on equity, but the starting point for BPER Group is higher than 8%. And through this action, we are going to reach 10% of return on equity. I think this is an important message, thinking about the trend, also the trend that you mentioned before. I don't know, Alessandro.
Just a technical question about the cost of risk. We included some of the effects of the new regulatory changes. One of these is the new definition of default. So we included in all our estimates an additional element due to the new stock of new defaults, and also a cost of risk. We included some of the additional coverage regarding this this component. About costs, synergies and one-off costs, the 70 million one-off costs related to Unipol Banca acquisition are the sum of OPEX cap, so investments, running costs, ordinary costs, and redundancy plan, a portion of redundancy plan related to Unipol Banca. This kind of cost, the redundancy plan, is included in the 180-200 million of our redundancy plan, that is all inclusive. Okay. About synergies, we confirm what we said in the present in the former presentation. So what concerns Unipol Banca is related from the income side, is related mostly on the cost of funding. From the cost side, it is related to the redundancy plan integrated with ours. And in cost simplification due to the merger of Unipol Bank and BPER, and the simplification of the net of the branches, and related also to costs due to real estate rentals and other things.
So on the other question about the RIBOR and Plan B, thank you for the question, because today in every single activity, in every single analysis, we have plan B, plan C, because this is an important request. And so I'm sure that Roberto tried to explain what is our approach also in this situation.
Yes, we have actually a plan B in the case of lower rates. I would say actually that if rates stay lower, it is there is a higher probability of a new TLTRO. We consider a very highly probable that there would be a new intervention by the ECB. And in my personal assumption, there will be it will be stated by the 7th of March, so we don't have to wait much longer from today. But anyway, we will, in case actually rates stay very low, to defend our net interest income, we have a plan where we will reduce the issuances of covered bond. Will increase the participation to the ECB financing operation, and actually will increase also long-term repo on our bonds. And long-term repo is actually an activity we already embed in our funding plan. At the moment, for example, we are working at the long-term repo of government-guaranteed scheme. We have two GACs from last year, and it is a very, I would say, reasonable activity and efficient activity to participate in long-term repo against cash or against bonds that can be Italian government bonds or European government bonds against the GACs, because you know that the GACs doesn't help you either in the LCR or in the net stable funding ratio. When you use long-term repo, we are working at 36-month repos. Actually, you have benefits either in the LCR, if you work through government bonds, and in the net stable funding ratio, if you work through cash.
I would like only to express another important trend of our group in the composition of revenues, the top line profit and loss. So some years ago, the composition of top line of profit and loss was 35% commission and fees and 65% NII. So there was a strong commitment of all the group to change the mix commission and fees and NII, and now we are above 40% of commission and fees, and we want to increase furthermore the composition and the presence of commission and fees in the top line of profit and loss. And let's say that also the last year was extremely important for this. I would like to remember you that we have an increase by 5%, 4.8% in the commission and fees, with some area with an incredible improvement. Let me mention, for example, fees coming from an insurance product with plus 47%. So this is extremely important. So we try to have a better combination of NII and commission, also to manage carefully also the impact of the monetary policy and the change in the financial market.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. It's Giovanni Razzoli from Equita. I have three questions, actually, or two clarifications. On the topic that Roberto has touched just with the last question on the repos, that is a strong contribution to your funding plan. Can you share with us what are the costs of these long-term repos that you have embedded in your plan? And the second question is a clarification in page number 15. You are showing us that the growth of the policies is quite significant, is 20% per year. If you can share with us the absolute amount of the new production here, that if I'm not mistaken is mostly concentrated on the PNC and protection insurance, and if you can also share with us what do you assume in terms of placement of life products in the plan. And the final question is on the SREP, or on the alleged request of the regulator to bring the coverage of NPE to up to 100% somehow in the future. I was wondering if you can share with us what are your thoughts in the plan about this request. I've seen that you assume a 54% increase in the coverage of NPE. How have you treated this request as a part of your business plan? Thank you.
Okay, let's start. It is the easy one. The long-term repo we are doing, the maturity is 36 months. We have 750 million of notes, senior notes from actually from the government guaranteed scheme. The cost is around, against the cash, is around 75-80 basis points above EONIA. So considering that EONIA is at minus 40, the final cost is around 45 basis points against the cash. Against the BTP, actually we are at, around the same 75 basis points above BTPs, and if you repo the BTPs, you repo them at minus 45, so the cost against BTPs can be even lower.
So about the coverage and the relationship between coverage and expectation of ECB calendar provisioning, obviously we estimate that the significant impact will be only after the conclusion of the business plan 2019-2021. At the same time, we think that it's important to increase year after year the coverage, the average coverage on our NPE. And so this is one of the reasons of the increase. Let's say one general consideration about the expectation to have a full coverage in 2024-2025. You know that in 2026 is different between one bank and the other. I think that the full coverage is what is the expectation of ECB, but I think the approach will be different. If you think that when you are on a coverage area between 70% and 80%, you can have an option to go on the market and sell the non-performing. So what I imagine that will be the different approach in the coming years is if you have room in your capital position, probably you can go on with the coverage and you take advantage working on recovery of bad loans. But at the same time, you have always the option to go on the market to sell, because at that level of coverage, you can find a potential buyer of your bad loans. So let's say, I think is in all the estimates, I understand that many work to think about 100% of coverage. But if you approach in working on this, and we have a great experience in the last years, you have different options. And I think it is important to remember this point, because in our experience in the last year, we were able to complete some disposal around 30% of price. Probably in the future will be less than 30%, but anyway, this is an option between other impact on your capital position or go on the market to sell the portfolio. Anyway, we want to increase the coverage. This is a first important step, and we want to have the coverage, if it's possible, on a different size of non-performing. So you think that we were at 11 billion euro, now we are around 7, and the target is to be 5 billion. I think is an incredible and positive trend. Alessandro?
So I confess that my memory is a little bit in default. I don't remember the breakdown of the non-life insurances. I only remember commissions, and commissions from the starting point are 22 million, and the increase expected through the business plan is 12 additional million. So a quite stout increase in the period. But anyway, I can give you any detail as soon as possible.
Sorry, I have one more question about M&A. Yesterday there was another call of a Genoa-based bank that launched a capital increase after Banco di Sardegna, after Unipol Banca, after Arca. Would you rule out any interest in another deal in Italy, or what can happen? My question is, what can happen to about this capital increase, assuming it's difficult to underwrite the shares? I know that the Italian banking system underwrote a Tier 2, if I remember well. Many of the banks have write down the bonds, so maybe you can help us with your feelings. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. It's very easy to answer to give. Well, first of all, I don't like to speak about the other banks and what they are facing. I think it's a correct approach, and I hope that they find all the positive solution to managing the capital position. Said this, let's say we have so many activities to manage in this period, and so we are not analyzing another deal in Italy. Said this, I want to confirm that our history is an history of M&A, because if you look back some years, the size of our group was completely different. Now, with the Unipol Bank, our size is more than 80 billion euro of a total asset. And we think that is important to have the commitment to increase further the size of the group. I think that these are levels where, if you have the right approach and you can manage in appropriate method the business, is possible to have a positive result. But there are some important characteristics. For example, we try not to sell part of the value chain of BPER Group. Obviously, if you sell asset under management, you sell all the element, for example, payment and so on, it's very difficult at the end to have a return on equity of 10%. In our view, it's important to maintain and to leverage on this point. And if you look at our group, we have asset manager. We have, for example, one point is, why don't you sell the BPER Credit Management, so the company that is involved in the bad loans activities? You know that the potential disposal of this company is only a cash flow deal. So you have immediately benefit, but you have to pay for many, many years commission, even if your bad loans is going down. So my opinion is absolutely important to have all the control of what is possible to manage with your size. Probably there are other elements that is impossible. This is our view. And I'm satisfied because during the last period in some meetings, there are today many investors that say that we have probably a very original approach for this, because try to have all the levers to improve our return on equity. And let's say 8%, 8-9% last year of return on tangible, a target of 10% achievable, because you can see this is a business plan based on saving costs, and I think is realistic what we plan,
and a very cautious approach on revenues. There is a different mix, but if you look at the top line, more or less is the same after 3 years. I hope to, if it's possible, to do something better, but let's say is enough what we are planning. Say this, I repeat, I have a deep interest to understand any possible opportunity to increase our size. So we are open, but today the focus is on this business plan and to complete the agreement completed during February. But I think it's enough, but we'll see if it's possible to have another opportunity we'll examine in the near future. Thank you for your question.
Good morning, it's Anna Benassi from Kepler Cheuvreux. Few questions. So one relates to credit quality. You came out with the target of gross NPE ratio, I would say pretty shy, because below 9% is true that could be even 2%, but assuming you say below 9 because it would be between 8 and 9, is not a great deal, assume after the Unipol transaction brought you below 12%. And at the end, even assuming the 3 billion NPL disposals, that would bring to a better number. We see the default rate at 1.9%. Given the current macro in Italy, I agree with you, it's difficult to assume a better number, but maybe on the recoveries we could assume a better number. I'm trying to understand if you are comfortable with 7%, and you say below 9% to be conservative, or what you have in mind on that. On the NPL platform, I hear what you say. You're not prepared to sell. That distinguishes you from your peers because you have all the product factories still except insurance business. My question is, are you prepared to sell a piece of another of your product factories in the time? Because the other characteristic of your plan, apart from being very conservative in certain assumptions from my point of view, is that your dividend payout ratio is pretty conservative as well, 25%. If we compare to some numbers in the industry in Italy and in Europe, is a very low number. So are you prepared to exchange maybe a disposal to pay more dividends eventually if the price is attractive, or are you simply waiting the IRB validation on Unipol Banca, which is the main one, in order to become more generous on the dividend side? On the question about the cost savings, you made evident, as far as I was seeing, only the 80 million savings on the staff side. Can you quantify the cost savings overall? Because you are going to also close a large number of your branches. You are launching a plan on your real estate. The overall cost savings, so distinguish the inflation versus the cost savings behind all the actions you put in this plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna, for your questions. I start with the NPL. Probably you are right. Typically, we try to surprise positively the market, and probably this is the history of the last 3 years, because you know that was difficult to forecast 10 percentage point less in the NP gross ratio 2 years and a half ago, and to be here today to explain that we have already close to 11.5 thanks to the last deal. And let's say also, to give value for the idea to combine an acquisition of Unico Banca with a disposal. It wasn't simple to imagine in the beginning of the deal. I think it is a strong confirmation of our commitment on this element. So we expect to go very below nine, so not only 0.2, to be very clear. But we want to maintain a flexibility in this area. Our ambitiousness in this area is very high. But we want to confirm our approach, and we want to express clearly that we want to improve the asset quality, improve, complete the risking, to have a position on the market as one of the best bank from this point of view. And believe me, the 3 years we confirm this element. So we want to go really below the 9%. About the different company in the perimeter of the group. They say, I don't like the approach. I'm ready to sell something to cover the loss, for example, on the disposal. It's not probably the idea that we have to manage our product company, for example. For BPER, the driver is the value creation. If there is an opportunity to create value, I'm ready to analyze every single opportunities. But I'm ready to sell probably a very low price to have to offset potential loss in other area. I think it's not the right approach, and probably thanks to our capital position, thanks to the expectation on return on equity, we can have this flexibility. We have this great focus on value creation, also managing all the product company that we have in our group. For example, Arca, we said before, is an option. My idea that is I want to have this discussion, a positive discussion with Sandro, because we think there is an important value in Arca for the performances, for the result, but the most important driver also here is the value creation. I don't know, Alessandro, probably...
For the breakdown of costs, not much details, but anyway, I can give you everything you want. The inertial effect in the 3 years is around... So, starting point, cost efficiency and cost reduction of 120 million. The breakdown is 50 million, so something more than 50 million, that is the inertial increase in costs. The reduction of staff costs is 100 million, more or less, and the remaining reduction of 70 million is ordinary expenses. The main drivers are the insourcing of the IT systems of Unipol Banca. There is a branches simplification, so rentals and other things. There are the internal M&A, so the simplification of the structure of the group through merger of the two Piedmont banks, and some activities on the processes, internal processes, particularly from the branches side. Such one of the drivers is the reduction of the management of the money and cash payments. So these are the drivers.
Probably also on the dividend policy, the approach is the same. So let's say that we think that we have room on our capital position to be more generous if there is the opportunity. Let's say that we are satisfied what is our plan on the Common Equity 1, because as I said before, 12.5 is the target for 2021, but we have so many other elements. Also, the optimization of RWA working together with the Unico Group is absolutely possible in a very short time, but we need to go into the figures of Unipol Banca to understand how it's possible to extract value and margin in this area.
So let's say this is probably a level that we can respect, but probably there is room to go higher than the 25.
I apologize, but we are running a bit out of time. We must switch now to the conference call questions, if any. I ask the operator to go on with this. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the operator. The first question from the conference call is from Andrea Vercellone with Exane. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. The first question is on NPE coverage. I actually disagree quite strongly that you need to increase coverage to 54%, considering that 3 billion out of a stock of 5 billion of NPEs in 2021 will have a vintage between 1 and 3 years. So how can you justify having to increase coverage if not just being very prudent? The second area is on capital, and I'd like you to split out two elements. One is the benefit of the SME supporting factor, I mean the incremental benefit relative to what you already have. And the second one is on the procyclicality impact of the disposals you concluded last year, NPL disposals. You said that you have assumed no LGD waiver. However, the LGD waiver was agreed politically 2 weeks ago, so it's there in the new European rules. So if it is there, which it will be, I repeat, what RWAs will you save relative to what you have budgeted in the plan? And the final question is on Unipol Banca. It's just a detail. Can you give us some information as to what the funding structure of Unipol Banca currently is? Particularly, I'm interested to know if they have any retail bonds, if they have any institutional funding, maybe from Unipol, which I do not know, which obviously will need to be replaced or you need to do something with it. Thank you.
Andrea, thank you for your question. And on the first, if I understand correctly, you disagree on the higher coverage on the NPE. Let's say it's the first time there is a disagree on higher coverage. But I understand that this is not so evaluation of our strategy, but is a technical question probably inside your disagreement about our approach. Let's say probably you are right, is our prudent approach on this side and the history of our group in the last 5 years, that every single year we increase the coverage. And probably this reason is important also to explain why when we complete the disposal also this year of 3 billion euro, the effect on P&L is marginal and not material. And this is another important element. About your question about some elements referred to the capital position, also to the funding of Unipol Banca, and we study in the last period because we think it's possible to extract value on this, Roberto.
Yes, Andrea. Good morning. On the first one on capital, the impact on SMI supporting factor is a relief in RWA of 480 million, while the impact on disposal on LGD is around 1 billion, and it is embedded in 2021 in our capital plan. Clearly, it is a very conservative attitude. We do expect the CRR to actually provide a waiver. On the funding structure on Unipol Banca, as we said when we presented the deal, their average cost of funding is much higher than ours, double. And it is mainly due to the fact that they have 1.5 billion of institutional funding, senior bonds, issued at an average rate of 3.11%. And those bonds mature, 80% of those bonds mature before the end of 2020. So we have a strong opportunity to have a beneficial impact on funding costs from Unipol Banca, even stronger if there is a new TLTRO.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Santoro with HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Hi. Good morning. Thank you for the presentation and all the details. A couple of questions on my side. I was surprised of the size of the new defaulted into the NPE slide that you present, the 1 billion. And this probably refers to forbearance from July. And you also mentioned some of these negatively filtering into your capital going forward. So if you can maybe specify the impact, that would be very useful maybe later if you guys send us, all the capital waterfall and the new moving parts in terms of IFRS TRIM, because I understand there are a number of moving parts that will basically have an impact. And on slide 48, where you show the capital generation due to earnings. Your profitability is improving from this level. So I understand also that your shareholders, they might be more sensible to the issue of the dividends. So my question is, in 2019, you will book the restructuring cost of most of it, but in the slide there is also some positive impact coming from badwill, so just wondering whether this will filter into the P&L, will have an impact on the base on which we calculate the dividend, and maybe also the phase. 25 is an average, having more visibility on dividend 19, 20, 21 payout will be very useful. DCB addendum, your comments before were hinting at the possibility that, beyond 2021, this will have a material impact. So we're just wondering whether you can give us more detail on the vintage. And also, at the numbers of here, you think about the rundown of the current stock will finish. Thank you.
Thank you, Domenico. For what concerns the new definition of default, we specified that it's less than 1 billion, but in reality it's around 400 million, so very reduced, and it's half on the stock and half in terms of new flows, additional flows for the 3 years. For what concerns the addendum, we think that within the holding period of the business plan, the impact could be not particularly significant, because what we expect is from 2022 to be in some way impacted. But in the 3 years, what we want to do is to redefine the credit policy in order to reduce and to manage the underlying volumes in order to reduce the impact steadily for the full period. And this is also the reason why we decided to put 54% basis point coverage, average coverage, at the end of 2021. So the question before was why we have so high, rather high coverage for the last year of the period, because we decided to put some additional coverage in order to manage and to face the potential impact of the new definition of the default for the next years.
About the dividend is obviously an important point. Let's say that when we say 25% is obviously an average in the 3 years' time, this year there will be probably something less 25, but the expectation to have an increase year after year at the end of the 3 years will be higher than 25. Our estimation is to be close to 30%. As I said before, it is a prudent approach, and with the capital position of BPER Group, with the expectation to have benefit from many elements, starting from the alignment to IRB of Unipol Bank and so on, As I repeat before, we have room to increase this level. About the first year, 2019, obviously, we have to manage the badwill. Obviously, the badwill is an important amount. I am happy to have to manage it because the reason because we are going to pay 220 a group with an equity more than half billion euro, and so we have to manage more than 300 million euro of badwill. We have a similar experience in 2017 with the new Carife, and we were able to manage in line also with the expectation with the PPA process, and was absolutely right and positive for our balance sheet, and will be the same for the badwill of Unipol Bank.
The next question from the English conference call is from Hugo Cruz with KBW. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you. So two quick clarifications and then a question on the commercial funding target in the plan. So to clarify, I mean, I couldn't understand well, did you give guidance on the badwill for Unipol acquisition that will go through the P&L? If you could clarify. Second, I think you mentioned an DTA benefit through the P&L again of 25 million. It sounded low to me, but again, if you could clarify that. And then on the commercial funding targets, basically you have flat commercial funding between 18 and 21. You know, I would argue that deposits should actually grow, you know, at least 2-3% a year. So, and most of that funding is deposits, client deposits. So, if you have that deposit growth, and I would argue it's always difficult to say no to clients and say you don't want those deposits. So, if you have that deposit growth, what will you do with it? You know, should we assume, equivalent kind of loan growth, or you know, is this a function of the very expensive deposits in Unipol, and can you assume that as the funding costs normalize, those deposits will walk out the door? To clarify that, thank you.
About the question related to Unipol badwill related to commercial activity, we estimated an impact that is counterbalanced substantially by other additional synergies that we didn't declare in the business plan. So, in other words, we estimated that more or less 30 million badwill for clients reduction, counterbalanced by 30 million additional synergies from the selling of new products on Unipol clients. So net effect zero, and the only synergies that we declared were on funding cost. For the other side, the cost of funding through the 3 years of the business plan, the flattish cost of funding from the commercial side is due to a different mix, because at the moment we have a high amount of side deposits that could be potentially increased. And from the other side, now we are in a phase in which the estimated bonds expiring in the next period have a yield that is more or less the new yield that we expect for the new bonds for the new commercial deposits that we have for the future. So more or less it's a mix effect and the replacing effect of the expiring bonds.
So, sorry, I was just to be clear, when I was talking about direct funding, I was talking about the total stock of 54 billion in slide 46. Kind of implies you don't have any, you don't expect any deposit growth between 2018 and 2021.
We expect some growth, but we have a stout plan of switch from direct to indirect deposits, so from direct to assets under management. So the additional growth that we expect is addressed to assets under management. In other words, some of the present deposits will be switched in assets under management, and we expect additional deposits for the future, so we expect to stabilize the amount of the direct deposits.
On DTA, okay. you go, actually we embed 75 million in the 3 years, 19, 20, 21. The biggest part will, actually will benefit for the biggest part in the first 2 years. As we said before, in 2021, the impact is below 20% of the total amount.
Okay, thank you. And just to clarify, the bad will from the acquisition of Unipol Bank that will go through the P&L?
Yeah, the bad will go through the P&L and also to the benefit of the common equity.
But can you give a number?
Yeah, it is the difference between the tangible equity for Unipol Bank and the price we pay. Tangible equity at the end of December was around 540, actually. I'm take the benefit of doubt because it is my memory. And the price we pay is 220 million.
Okay, thank you very much.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered from the conference call.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let me thank you again for joining us in this important day for BPER for the presentation of our business plan. So thank you to all of you here in Milan, also to all present via conference call. And we look forward to meeting you soon and updating on the successful action on our business plan. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now we deserve a break for coffee, 15 minutes break, and then we come back for the media and press session. Thank you very much, everybody.